Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is sponsored by Factor. Get Factor and enjoy eating well with fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door. Ready to eat in just 2 minutes, no prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/filmsack50 and use the code FILMSACK50 to get 50% off.
Take off.
Victor Sullivan. You can call me Sully.
Thank you. I won't, but thank you.
I got a job coming up, a big one. I need another set of hands on it.
So this is what you do? You stumble into bars trying to pick up an accomplice?
I'm offering you a real ticket out of here. A chance to see places you only read about in books. What do you say?
You missed the read, Victor.
Trying to steal the cross.
This is Film Sack.
The cross.
Like a transformer.
Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome back to Film Sack, or maybe here for the first time. I don't know. I'm not you. You tell us. Anyway, it's Film Sack, episode 610. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. Maybe he should hold on to the cross, Dunaway.
Give me that. Oh, hi. This week on Film Sack, we hog a whole piece of bubble yum, no sharesies, and run from the mean old orphanage nuns and straight into the arms of our traitorous lover, Netflix, to explore the practically uncharted territory of good video games based on movies, only to find this 2022 action adventure that starts with a heist, then moves on to raiding some tombs, and then ends with a swashbuckling? Yeah, swashing some buckles. How about that? In the sky as we yell, "Say hi to your brother for me!" Wahlberg hates that. Anywho, we found Magellan's one-eyed Willie of lost boats of gold, and the lady villain boss wants us to pirate ship our henchmen selves up to remain on the ancient 16th century death trap full of oddly shaped gold. Is this a pineapple or a turd? And it'd be flown like a bunch of floating fish caught in a net to the nearest offshore boat for retrieval. I have no reservations or sense of danger, so I am just going to patrol the deck of this ship and wait for some shit to go down. Well, speaking of which, the shit, it is going down. Quickly, fellas, grab a rope. We're about to engage. Suck it, Errol Flynn. Google it. I'm old. Randy. Remember, if something is lost, it can be found, except for your innocence. That ship has sailed. Yeah. Parkour!
Yeah. Is it a pineapple or a turd?
He kept pulling out stuff at the end. He kept pulling out pieces of gold, and I'm like, oh, that's not a gold bar. It looks like a golden shat.
Yeah,
how did they do that?
It looked really, it did look really weird. Yeah.
They didn't have good shaping techniques back then, I guess.
No, the Spaniards. What did they know? Yeah, with us also, Randy, I think he's... Oh, I got to do this right. Randy, I think he saw a video game platformer. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
All right, listen up. I've met you here by surprise after closing time because I want to hire you for a job, and I was hired because I'm relatively small, and if we put you next to me, you won't look like the 12-year-old hobbit that you are. As you saw in the flash forward earlier that ruined the best action sequence coming up, I need you to be so ridiculously hyper competent that Jason Statham asks you to catch heirloom teacups for him. To do this mission, I'm going to need you to follow three rules. Number one, ABB, always be betraying.
Ah,
I'm going to betray you repeatedly. Some lady I betrayed in the past is about to show up and betray me back. That's the only thing we know how to do. Number two, weirdly, you're going to ignore rule number one for the most part. Oh, it makes you likable, but honestly, most of this adventure happens the same way with or without you. So rule number three, no matter how many times I betray you, please eventually forgive me because I don't know why. Look, gold, shiny, vanishing powder.
The gold.
If someone betrays them and then you betray them back, are you retraying?
Oh, retray. Oh, oh. Retraying like a regift. Smart.
A retray. I see what you've done there.
Re-betray.
Speaking of that guy talking right there, that's Brian. You don't just go into the boat. You take the boat, Ibbot.
Take it.
Exactly right. And don't worry. The irony of what I'm about to do about finding a key is not lost on me. Here we go.
All right.
When I find myself in lands uncharted, traveling in a group of three, I always ask the question, where's the key?
Smart.
We're all three double crossers. Maybe you took it while I was having a wee. Zipped up and checked my pockets. Where's the key? I've got the key. Wait, where's the key? You stole the key. Do you have the key? 2 hours of this nonsense. Where's the key? So if a customer distracts me by asking for a Long Island iced tea, my vest now feels much lighter. Where's the key? 'Cause I can't trust the two of you, neither Marky Mark nor Sophia Ali. Everybody empty their pockets. Where's the key? I've got the key. Wait, where's the key? You stole the key. Do you have the key? 2 hours of this nonsense. Where's the key? I've got the key. Wait, where's the key? Do you have the key? I can't find the key. This movie should have been titled, Where's the Key?
Perhaps your finest work to date, sir.
Yeah, high water, high watermark, dude. High new level. Envelope pushed.
Two and a half minutes trying to find the key myself. Apparently,
I'm gonna say I love when you went off key. It was like, is he being? You know,
yeah, deep? I thought it was ironic.
No, it's just me, like trying to find a version of that song that I could transpose down to. Right. Where's the key? Hey, I've got the key. And that's like, you know, the dude from Crash Test Dummies.
What will be exciting about this this version is the Beatles songs are typically some of the most like DMCA act things. It'll be interesting to see if I get any notices going.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because the Carafun stuff is performed by a different artist, so it shouldn't recognize it, but my vocal technique is so close to McCartney.
So tight.
It's you're almost the same.
Indistinguishable from Sir Paul.
Yeah, you're the same. You're the same. In fact, you make me think that in the 80s and 70s you were dead. You were not even there.
I like to think that the logarithm is like listening going, maybe
Oh, did you hear the part where he said, lure the key?
Exactly.
That was amazing. Loved it.
Yeah, I don't know if George was squeezing part of Paul to get him to do those notes at that point.
Pinch him in the bum when he needs to go high.
Twist.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like it. We're talking about,
I need you to come over here and twist my nuts, twist so I can my get nuts, those high notes.
My little testicles. So check this out. We watched Uncharted. This is a relatively recent film. Came out in 2022, starring our little Spider Boy and Holland. Your Marky Mark is in there.
It was
going
to be Drake.
He was. He wanted to be for years, and there was like a whole
and then he aged out.
Changed hands. Dan Trachtenberg at one point was supposed to direct. That fell apart. Which makes me sad.
I disagree that he aged out. He could have easily been Nathan Drake. He just had to have a slightly different story. But Marky Mark, unfortunately, doesn't have the like voice for it. Right, like there's something about Nathan Drake that you need him to be more of an everyman, and Marky Mark is real, is a real specific thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we already got the voice actor there. Why not just have him dub his lines?
Yeah. They, right. They had Nolan North there. So why not? Yeah. Yeah.
Was Fillion ever considered for this? Because it just feels like a
early on.
I guess he would have also been too old.
He made an audition tape like 10 years ago for this character.
Right.
Yeah. Had they done this in 08, 09, 2010 or something,
easily
could have seen him doing it. I think you could even do it now, just a different story about a later life Drake. Like, there's no way, there's no reason you couldn't do it. I think this series or this movie wants to be a bunch of sequels, and I'm not sure they're going
to
get it.
Boy, this movie wanted to be a sequel really hard.
Yeah, you could tell the whole time they were just like milking it. Like, we want to be the next Mission Impossible or, you know, something like that. And I think it fell kind of short of that. Let's let Fletcher explain the basics of it, and then we'll dig in deeper.
Uncharted. Street smart Nathan Drake is recruited by seasoned treasure hunter Victor Sully Sullivan to recover a fortune amassed by Ferdinand Magellan and lost 500 years ago by the House of Monaconda Maniga.
Nailed it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Loved well it. Done.
Well done, Scott Fletcher.
So this thing did make $400 million, I think.
Wasn't enough.
That's not enough to just guarantee a sequel. Is there? I think there's rumblings.
The bigger issue, I think, right now is Tom Holland's, where he's at mentally. He's been kind of, doing the circuits.
He's taken a year off. He says he's done for a bit.
Good for him, because he needs it. That we have been eating that man alive for the last however many years.
He's a little boy. You can't call him a man. I don't care how old he is.
He's a man.
He plays young.
This movie made me really struggle with what I want and like what I can deal with in terms of casting. And I don't like this. I don't like this.
What?
Like Spider-Man? Yes. Put your 5'6" child looking person
child man
in there.
Man-child.
And by the way, I even went over, I went and looked through TikTok to find these channels where people do like real analysis of people's height, and it's like you take a picture of yourself next to a door frame and you send it to them, and then they tell you exactly how tall you are based on the size of the water bottle next to you.
Wow, this is a thing. I didn't know this was a thing.
That's how Bill Duran makes props, by the way. Is that, he figures it out from the movie based on the average size of somebody's hand.
Secrets out.
And there's all kinds of this stuff out there, and these like experts at doing this have all kinds of pictures of like Tom Holland in flip-flops, and he is 5'6" and Mark Wahlberg is 5'7". And of course that means that they add a couple of inches in their publicity. Right. But, 5'6", I could see it like the entire movie. I felt like, well, this is a small man. This is a very small man.
He's a small guy. My Korean adopted brother is his exact height. And it always cracks me up to picture my brother, Matt, in his like UPS uniform standing next to Tom Holland. To me, that's a weird juxtaposition. But yeah, he's a little tiny guy. Everybody in Hollywood's
Nathan
tiny.
Drake, they're all little. Character is he that tall? And I thought it was average height.
Nathan Drake is portrayed as average height in the games, but then again, the games are they're it's all fake.
I can't tell because I only see him standing next to Crash Bandicoot, so I can't get a good.
He seems really tall.
Yeah, it seems really tall next to a Bandicoot.
That's just kind of a nod to how much I love that the PlayStation films intro.
Oh, so much fun.
Oh, that's great, right? Like, you don't see, and that's not the first one of these, or is it?
Yeah, it is. This is the first Sony PlayStation films.
Oh, wow. Movie. Okay. So
here's the thing. When you play video games, what you're comparing your character to is whatever else the character is fighting against, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you have Nathan Drake, you have Solid Snake. That's another one that has, like, there's a size in your mind of the character that you played.
Sure.
And that's, again, size based on the fact that you keep sneaking around crates and ambushing people. That's sort of what these games
and the bananas
are
eating. Right. So you can kind of banana for scale, right? Gotcha.
Yeah. These games are only about, quietly sneaking up on people who are on the other side of crates. That's what they're about.
Right.
And it's those people, those other people, how they're depicted that gives you a sense of scale. When you're making a movie, an action movie, people are going to fight. They're going to fight hand to hand, and you're going to hire stunt people, right, to fight. Well, there can't be that many really, really small stunt people. right? You're going to end up getting people that are 5'10 and 6'2.
I like that for his character.
And then when you see that in the movie, you go, oh, that's not like the video game at all. You know, like you, that just happens in your head.
Well, here's the thing, though.
You're seeing the same stuff.
If you played Honor Among Thieves, I think was the fourth game. I can't remember the name of the fourth game, the subtitle of the fourth game. But Uncharted 4.
Thief's End.
Is it Thief's End? That sounds right. It's either Thief's End or 3. I can't remember now. But there was a whole flashback scene of him as a younger person meeting Sully for the first time. And this movie feels like it's based on that concept. It's like, hey, what if we took them meeting, and they of course rewrote the whole thing. It's nothing like the game, but they said, well, why don't we take that and make that the basis for this thing, and then we grow it from there. Whereas nobody playing the games was really fond of that. I mean, the flashback was fine, but it was just a sequence in the game. The rest of the game is like, no, I'm here with mature Nathan Drake doing mature Nathan Drake shit, and let's go. And that's more of what I wanted. I wanted what the games mostly are about. I don't want the flashback scene fleshed out to be a 2-hour movie.
I only casually played the Uncharted games. So I wasn't looking for Easter eggs or comparisons. I kind of knew the general story, but I wasn't really too concerned. And I don't know, why don't we still call them Easter eggs? Why don't we just call them nerd nods or something? Because they're not either.
Nerd nods.
Because I mean, the only people looking for them are the nerds.
Yeah,
but I was just like, I don't know. I didn't bother me at all. I saw more stuff like, oh boy, they really ripped that off from this movie or that story or, you know, or whatever. And that didn't bother me that much. It was fine.
My final word on that is I can't help when there is an established character and I know exactly what that character looks like in general. Like not in specific. It's okay if you didn't like really come away with something 15 years ago, you're playing this game.
Yeah.
But like in general, I know what that character looks like. And when I'm watching the movie, I just need them to cast someone who's close. It doesn't have to be perfect, but this felt to me the entire movie like Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg, not Nathan Drake and Sully.
How about I actually got chills. A little bit of chills when he put on his gun holster, because I was like, holy shit.
Oh, really?
Now he looks like him. Now I feel like
you had the outfit.
Formed the character.
Yeah, he had that outfit, that light white or that off-white top, and then the way the thing strapped on him and the way his pants looked with it. Like, that's the
double shoulder holster.
That's the costume.
Definitely signifies that one character.
And Sully showing up at the very end in the stinger with a beard or with a mustache way more Sully. They should have kept it the whole damn movie, honestly.
I don't know, man. I thought about the same thing too, and I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, I don't know. Could I have taken Mark? Could I have taken him seriously?
Hold on. Was there something the after time? The credits?
Oh yeah.
There's like two or three things.
Because they slam down his brother's alive in jail scene in the beginning of the credits.
It's a pre-post credits.
That was so
mid-roll.
That was so impactful that I couldn't imagine they'd do anything after that, right? They should leave you with that.
No,
right?
There's a whole other scene, and the scene that they do show is reminiscent of the third game's sequence of young Nathan Drake doing shit, which is a little bit weird because I went, oh, there's that scene. And they made a whole movie about kind of that scene, but they play it out. You probably should see it just from a, I don't know, closure standpoint. Yeah,
And not having played all the video games, I think I played 1 and 2. I think I need to go and play 4 because I hear 4 is
3 and 4 are the best games. They're so good.
Well, you watched the movie, right? What do you even need to play?
What do I need to play the game for? I really hope the game's better than the movie. But who is it important to kind of know who? Because they leave the meeting with whoever in that bar and then go outside and they're both like, oh my gosh, you or something like that. And
we don't know anything.
And that's what's weird.
No video game thing. That's like, it's going to be the main villain from
is a weird thing for them to do because I played all the games top to bottom, including the spinoff one with the women in it, which was actually kind of close to being the best one ever. It's really good. Highly recommend that one. That comes in that bundle.
They made an all-girl Uncharted. Ooh.
Woke mind virus or whatever.
Naughty dog gone woke.
You can't be either going to make me watch this.
Yeah, so it's really good, though. But anyway, that one, all of them are really good. But there's nothing in any of those games where that scene is like an obvious nod. It's there's nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's no clue.
No like character that's been throughout the games that is like, oh well, of course they have to be looking at.
Right. I think that was like in Batman, you can do this in Batman and go, oh, it's the Joker or something, right? But in there's nothing here to establish. We don't have that kind of lore with it.
So it's really just like a license to make it whoever you. If there is a sequel, it's like we can make this whoever we want.
Yeah, it's an excuse
to lock in Mark Wahlberg, so he had to come back.
it's a fourth excuse to let Nathan Drake say "oh crap," which is his thing he does in the games all the time.
Oh, really?
I really felt like that was a cheap thing. It's just like, come on, you guys.
I'm noticing something here, and I really like it, and that is Brian Ibbett. You did not have to play these games to enjoy this movie.
No, you did not.
No,
you
really didn't. Let me clarify, because while I think I enjoyed the movie, I don't feel like it. That it's going to be anything that really sticks with me. And here's why I know that. Because I couldn't remember if I'd seen this movie before, and I had. And it wasn't until the pirate ships that I'm like,
I was about to say,
oh, yeah, that's right. I have seen this movie before.
Wow.
I want to talk about something.
That was 6 months ago or something. It was like last year sometime that we watched this. And
I usually don't say stop listening, but we're going to talk about that thing you just talked about. And I think if you haven't seen it, I think it's better if you go in cold on that. So don't listen to anybody. Yeah,
well, look, the
flying ship scenes.
Yeah.
That could be, that's the redeeming piece of this movie.
I disagree.
I'd say it's the riff. But I don't know if it redeems it because there's so much wrong with that too.
It's like it's totally wrong. But it's
the guitar riff that you think about when you think about Smoke on the Water or anything like that. But
it inspires conversation and it's memorable.
Yeah,
those are very valuable in a movie that is otherwise tropey. And just kind of across the board, it's a good fun time.
Yeah, but we have a rule around here. Whatever we watch, people, we talk about what we watch. It's what
I know. Yeah. But it's 2022. Usually I don't worry about it, but this is 2022. It just came out on Netflix like about not even any time ago. That's the only reason why I said it. It's kind of an odd.
It came out on something last year because that's when I watched it.
Oh yeah, did Apple get it or Disney Plus
probably
get it or something like that?
HBO gets them early. Yeah, Max probably.
But yeah, so it's. I want to just kind of drive this point home. I thought it was okay. I was amused by it. I was entertained by it. But
absolutely.
I bet you, if you were to ask me in a year. Let's make a note. We'll all reconvene back at this space on July 22nd, 2024 and ask me if I've seen Uncharted. And if I hesitate and think,
I think we did, then I'll say, remember the pirates in the sky with the helicopters? Like, oh yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
You know what it's going to be? We're all going to be like, did we watch it for FilmSack? No, we haven't watched that one for FilmSack yet. And we're going to have to Google and say, oh no, we totally watched that. Totally the pirate ships.
Yeah. Quick sack.li will be our friend that day. Yeah,
exactly.
The movie starts with the Dukes of Hazzard trope, which I always want to like the Dukes of Hazzard opening. Really, really do.
Oh, just some good old boys. I got
you. They're just, how they going to get out of this pickle?
Yeah, exactly. I'll bet you're wondering how I got here.
But these games all did that. All three of them or all four of them had a thing at the beginning. Like this, the scene of him hanging out that plane is actually very similar to one in three. There's
love
a train one like that where he wakes up hanging out of a train, doesn't know why. Yeah. And then they do. Then they go back in time and they start counting back to, and then they meet in the middle of the story.
In this case, it's a movie, and the flash forward the flash forward was terrible, in my opinion. And I believe me, I like this movie. I think it's a fun romp, but that was the best action sequence in the thing. It was very close to original.
Right.
we've obviously had people falling out of cargo planes in lots of movies,
but
it was close to original. You just completely ruined it by giving me the opening where I know because he's the main character. He's got plot armor, infinite plot armor, right?
Plot armor.
So I know he's gonna live.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I don't think I've heard of that as plot armor. That's an amazing term. I gotta use that again. That's good.
Agreed. But I'm telling you, that pirate ship in the sky stuff, that was the most original thing to me. I mean,
yes.
That was
and it looked good too, right? Crazy. Looked good. Didn't
it
look too.
It looked good. Yeah. And it was well done. Like it as far as like the special effects believable. The whole Errol Flynning around between boats back and forth was great. But if you sat there and thought,
no sense.
Absolutely no sense.
Yeah, yeah.
How heavy would those things be? Plus the rotting wood probably means that you would end up with two straps with some chunks of wood.
These are what these games are known for. They're like 3 and 4 in particular. Four especially is really full of these action sequences that are humanly impossible stuff going on, but so exciting and take Indiana Jones ideas to the next level kind of stuff. That's why those games are popular. That's why people love them. And I think they were really trying in this movie, top to bottom, to recreate some of that. They do it with the plane, they do it with the boats, and they do a pretty good job, but I don't think they quite reached the goal. It's something about it just felt a little shy of, not perfect, but a little shy of where this would be a little better. And I don't know what the extra little bit is. I don't know where to find it.
I think, we were filming this during the, first of all, production hell, 2008 is when they started on this, changed a lot of hands.
Wow. Yeah.
And then it was filmed during the pandemic, had to stop middle of it. So, I mean, this thing had everything against it, and it had a couple of things that were going for it. And, it was enjoyable, like you guys said.
Yeah, but
I do think there's no boss. There's no boss, no matter how evil, that is going to tell her.
Oh, that's a really good. Yeah, that's a really good point. Sure. Right. The it's supposed to be that the woman from You. Am I the only one? I'm probably the only one in here who ever watched.
I didn't see you.
Yeah. I saw it, and like you just said, I kind of like lost memory.
Are you talking about Tati Gabriel? Gabriel? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
She played Jo. Yeah. She was one of the highlights of the thing for me she is striking in her look and the way she behaved. And the games are also really good at this whole thing. Like there is the swashbuckling, we're going to go find treasure stuff. But there's also this human element where somebody else always wants what Nathan Drake's after. A little bit like the first Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's just like you're always fighting against that other guy. Who goes fst, fst, at the beginning?
Racing to the treasure.
Racing to the treasure. And I thought they nailed that because that's how these feel in the game. These antagonists are dead on for the kind of thing they show us in the games, except for Banderas sort of being set up as the ultimate baddie and then barely bleeding to death.
I was like, come on.
Yeah, that bugged me.
Come on.
It was a weird switch. I didn't like
that. But it made me laugh.
But my problem here is that it's a movie. And so, so giving me this whole story about building up the real villains, Antonio Banderas, Tati Gabriel, and then having who are supposed to be the protagonists betraying each other constantly.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that is too much because I'm like, it cuts down on my ability to care who's a good guy and who's a bad guy.
Well, they also really effed up Chloe's character. Chloe's a character in the games also. And I thought she was, She turned way too hard a corner in this a couple of times for even the game. Like in the game, it's a complicated relationship. It's supposed to be, and it goes on for years. But she never, ever in the games would ever put Nathan Drake in trouble or put him in danger.
That.
No, never like that. And this was basically her just saying, "Yeah, I'm signing up with Banderas, and if you die, you die, whatever." Well, and that's not her.
Late in the movie, when Drake finally decides to just abandon her, like I'm gonna leave her a false clue, and I'm gonna go find this gold, and she's gonna go find sand. There's the portrayal of her just completely shifts.
Yeah.
She's just an idiot sleeping in bed, and I'm like, whoa, no, this is not the right character. She should be really clever. She should be hearing what he's doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did she suddenly become a sleepyhead who follows a false clue? You know,
this movie had too many threads. Really, what's the problem? It's too many threads.
It's also just like your goal here with the Nathan Drake games and the movie, I think, is the same goal that the Tomb Raider games have. That is to replicate the Indiana Jones vibe, the the what's the older one?
National Treasure. Got a lot of National Treasure.
Oh, National Treasure vibes. Yeah,
big time vibes. But what's the old one that we watched? Quartermain. Alan Quartermain, that kind of stuff. So you're supposed to...
Are you saying they're nodding to Quartermain? No.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Stop. Oh, yeah.
But they're going for that here, right? That's the point of these games and all that. They even reference Indiana Jones in this. Like, of course it is. But I always, they always kind of F it up. And I'm going to say this about the first Tomb Raider reboot in 2013 an amazing game, but was not a true Tomb Raider game. It was just her fighting dudes.
Yes.
That's not what that is. What you're supposed to do is pull me into a cave and have that cave open up to some insane old temple and then do some weird shit in there to find the ultimate grail or whatever you're looking for.
You are going to have some tomb raiding in your Tomb Raider game.
Exactly. Yeah. Jeff Goldblum praise his name because that is absolutely true. And this movie just tickles up against it a few times and gets some interesting stuff. Like the boats being pulled out, really cool sequence. That all was
Willie's gold. I mean, come on. One-eyed Willie's from Goonies. That was spot on. I knew it was going to fly. I was like, oh, they're going to float it out of the cave like they did. And it's like, holy
God. How are they going to float it? Because there's no opening. You have to go underwater to how did
that's
the
what
boats
I was curious
there
about.
The first, the first part.
In Goonies, the cave fell away. Remember, like part of it like crumbled down. Right. And there you guys. And you're like, down. And
which is a very convenient way to get a ship out of a
cave. You can't get it out of there.
again, how did the One-Eyed Willie ship get into that cave in Goonies? Let's not even think about that.
Too. And to stay, I want to stave off some gamer emails. The second and third new Tomb Raider games, excellent. They got back to what mattered. They got to tomb raiding, and it was great. Yeah. So just keep your emails to yourself.
Overall, like great.
I feel like the script for this movie too often noticed when it was about to be like another older movie. And then shied away from it, you know? So, like, the whole reason, in my opinion, the whole reason Nathan Drake and Chloe don't have a real relationship in this movie is because if you do that, you're going to be just like Romancing the Stone. Like, how do you not make me think of Romancing the Stone, right?
Right.
And so you just say, okay, well, then we would just won't have them have intimate relationship, a real intimate relationship, right? Like, and... there's just so many things like this where the movie gets you right to the point of explaining something that's going to take your mind elsewhere and then waves its hand at you really hard. Yeah. There's this thing where Drake finds the gold, right? He gets the whole thing figured out, goes to the place on his own, and then Sully is there 15 seconds later. And the movie could easily step all into other previous movies, but instead the script is like, hey, how'd you get here? Oh, well, remember you said there were a bunch of apps on my phone? Wave hand at you. Something to do with apps on my phone. I'm not going to explain it.
On my phone. Also, there's no way those apps perform as well as they did underground in Spain where the coverage sucks.
Yeah.
Also, when they were down there, I was like, all right, we're getting in some tomb raiding. Look at this weird place. They're really going to go somewhere. And then, boop,
this is filling up with water.
We're in a raid. Or a rave, rather. Here's a rave with a bunch of weird European ravers under the ground. It's like, no. No, get away from people. Go tomb raiding. Get in
was
there.
Was this movie too ambitious? Was that the problem? I'm starting to hear that this movie was too ambitious.
Well, I think there's just expectations. Okay, we haven't even talked about this. Oh, go ahead.
For me, it just didn't have the heart, right? Like, so you've got all the cool tomb raiding stuff. No, he's not. Well, okay, all right. That's and he's great, but he's not enough. Like, if you look at Raiders of the Lost Ark, you've got... Marion, the first time you even see her, she's competing against a dude trying to drink him under the table, doing shots and that sort of thing. And her character is so developed. You're like, oh, I care about her.
Instantly.
Short Round. You care about Short Round instantly. You care about, yes, you did. And don't try to deny it, Dunaway.
Yes, you do. You always care about Short Round. I love
but
it.
But I did not care as I did care about Nathan Drake. I cared about Tom Holland because you get that brother setup thing and the whole, leaving him at the orphanage stuff. But then you throw Wahlberg in, who is a double crosser from the get-go. You throw this other woman in who's a double crosser from the get-go. Right. And all they are just two-dimensional
props.
you know, and fair point. Now he's stolen the cross. Oh, she's got the cross now. That's why my whole song.
Yeah, but reference my song, right?
Yeah. It's like kind of movie earlier in the episode.
It's the kind of movie where I feel like, you know, James Gunn one day will be looked at as a director that can take flimsy, non-deep material and turn it into meaningful, heartfelt stuff. He would have had the right touch.
Care about a freaking shark and
exactly.
a tree.
Exactly. A shark, tree, and a raccoon. It's impossible. Yeah. How did you do that? You know? So I was looking at this director. This is Ruben Fleischer. He directed most famously Zombieland.
To the Fleischer's family?
No.
Maybe?
As far as I know.
Yeah. His own, probably.
Zombieland. He did 2009 Zombieland. Everyone thinks Zombieland is funny, I guess.
Zombieland?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow. Now I'm a little disappointed in Uncharted.
That's what I'm saying. He did the first Venom. He was an executive producer on this Jury Duty.
Producer or directing those other ones?
Director of both of those, Zombieland and Venom.
Yeah, he did them both. He produced Jury Duty, this thing you guys rave about all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So wait, that's the dude we see. Well, those of you who haven't watched Jury Duty, maybe close your ears, but he's the dude we see in Jury Duty behind the scenes. We do see that guy throughout the show. That's not a surprise.
They keep going to him to explain how they worked out what they're going to do next.
Yeah.
In that show.
He's the guy.
That's awesome. I had no idea that was that guy. Okay. I like him a little bit better now.
The Santa Clarita Diet Show was his. He was executive producer on that series. Amazing show. It was too short.
Yeah. Well, he directed 7 episodes of Superstore.
Yeah. He's great. And he also did some producing on Superstore. He's like a real, he's a real deal dude. He's also directing the upcoming Jack and Daxter. So we're back to some.
Nice. More videos. So they brought him back because he's competent, right? Was our expectations for the amount of money spent, the amount of money retrieved?
I don't know. I mean, sounds to me like he just really likes Naughty Dog games. So he's going to just keep doing those. Because Jack and Daxter is old Naughty Dog game, but it's also, I assume they're going to animate that. That's not a live action movie. There's no way. Jack and Daxter, they're a couple
Unless
of
Unless you get Bradley Cooper to voice. Never mind.
Oh, no.
Holy shit. Well,
yeah. I'm absolutely convinced that no one could have voiced Rocket Raccoon except Bradley Cooper. But that's it.
It didn't seem like it at first, but I think you're right. Over time, it's kind of revealed.
But he also directed an episode of that Good Doctor series, which everyone hates.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Everybody hates?
Okay. The Good Doctor? Oh, yeah. That thing gets ripped.
Rumors on Jack and Daxter, by the way, Tom Holland and Finn Wolfhard want to be involved in the project.
Can we please? Oh, please.
Well, there's loads of trivia about Tom Holland's favorite series is the Uncharted series, and he loved it and played the hell out of it and couldn't wait to be in this and all that stuff. But I think if he's really, like right now he's saying whatever that Apple thing he did, I guess really tore him up. His latest role.
The thing with,
just mentally drained.
What's her face from?
Some 70s.
From the business and did the business.
What was Big Love? The girl from Big Love?
Yeah. You're talking about Crowded Room.
Crowded Room.
Oh, Crowded Room is
Crowded Room is the
Amanda Seyfried.
Amanda Seyfried. There you go. That's supposed to be like a. I mean, I thought Devil All the Time or Devil All the Time. I think is the name of it.
Devil All the Time
on Netflix. Is it really? It's so good.
Called Devil All the Time. Really?
I think so. I think it's The Devil All the Time. But it's him and
there it is, The Devil All the Time.
That is a dark ass great. He's really good in it. It's Southern Gothic. It's awesome. You guys should see that.
It's got a Skarsgård in it.
Does.
No.
It's also got some additional MCU people.
Not the one you think.
No. It's got Winter Soldiers in there. Shea Whigham, I think, is in there.
Yeah, that guy's got the best agent right now in Hollywood.
Yep, Batman's in it. Latest Batman's in it. Very good in it. That's the one. That's the movie actually where I saw the shiny vampire boy. What's his name? I can't think of his name.
Oh, Pattinson.
Pattinson and I went.
I can only remember the other people's names. Like when I'm trying not to remember one that I'm trying. Like
when I saw that though, I walked away from that going, okay, I get it. He can do more. He's good. That's a dark movie, but real good. I'd recommend it. But my point is, I think Tom Holland has like a desire to not be typecast as the happy-go-lucky Peter Parker type.
Yeah.
But I think it's really taxing to be superstar so quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. I'd step away too, man.
I'm so glad he's stepping away because, he could really he could mess himself up so bad.
He could do that forever. I mean, what's it going to be like when he's able to grow facial hair, though? Are we going to be able to recognize him?
When he hits puberty?
Is he going to be our Is he okay? So I was trying to figure this out. I didn't spend too much energy on it, but I was trying to figure it out because where we're growing up, Leonardo DiCaprio, you didn't see him as he's not going to be like an action star of any sort. He's got that baby face. Tom Holland suffered from baby face. So will he turn into kind of like, I think he's a lot healthier than Leonardo DiCaprio as far as.
Well, I don't think DiCaprio is an action star. I think he's just like a mega.
He went into some action star stuff for a while.
I mean, he's done some stuff, but mostly it's prestige films for him. And I think Holland has the talent for it. I have a picture of him with a beard. Sure. Apparently he can grow facial hair. I have a beard.
Shut up. Really? Yeah. Well, post it. Let's see.
All right, I'm putting it in. This is insane. I'm as surprised as you are.
I can't imagine Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield or Tom Holland with facial hair.
Like, there you go.
It's pretty decent color.
That's look at that. That's Sharpie.
That's Sharpie. That's pretty decent facial hair. He looks pretty good. He's doing good. Tom Holland, you do hot Tom Holland. You don't. What is
that? That looks like a fake picture.
It's not. There's other ones in here too.
It says it was made with FaceApp. I'll bet he did fake something in that picture.
Hold on,
that looks like genuine facial hair. Although you know, speaking of the TV show, it looks like Penn Badgley. Honestly, is who that looks like.
I don't know who Penn Badgley is. Who is that?
I'm gonna post a photo that looks.
Why
exactly...
is young Wesley Wheaton in the background? Who is in that background there?
I don't know who he's got. It's his.
It's not Zendaya.
Secret lover. I have no idea.
Right.
Secret love.
Zendaya is. That's the other thing. Your girlfriend Zendaya. You seem truly devoted to each other. They actually seem like a great couple. Freaking just step away, man. You got all this Spider-Man money. Just chill. You got it.
What facial hair is it? This under the chin, not like on the chin, like. I've decided to grow like a lawn.
That's what you're supposed to do, though.
My chin. What is that?
You're supposed to do that. My son-in-law told me that I'm no longer to have a beard unless I keep hair under there because it
really?
Hides. Yeah,
like not on your chin, not on the front. Like if you look at somebody from the front or the side, there's no hair on the planes of the face. It's like all underneath.
Yeah, like, what is that? That is a thing you're supposed to do according to my kids. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying they're the ultimate. See, here's Tom Cruise and what's his name? They both have the same thing. It goes up under. I think you're supposed to do that.
Really? No, I'm talking about no facial hair other than the.
Oh, just the neck
except
beard.
For the moss running underneath your chin. What is?
That I could not give you a good answer on.
That can go away like Crocs and. Junkos.
Here's a brand new recent Instagram photo of him with a beard. Let me put it in the chat here for you. There you go. Enjoy that one.
I love that. That's really hilarious.
Him. I made that.
That's
up.
The it's windmill beard. I love it. That is hilarious.
Can you blow in one side of that and the windmill goes?
I don't know. You would have to get close enough to try,
that's
I guess.
Awesome. I have never seen a beard that is an actual miniature golf hole. That's fantastic.
Yeah. But anyway, the point is, what is the point? The point is he had the alcohol thing and now he's stepping away and I think that's good. It's good for him. And we need him. He's a good actor and he would be great in the future and I would love it if he could just get to a happy place in his life.
I want him to stay healthy. That's more important to me than anything else. Don't let these people use you up.
Yeah. Do you think he's ever sitting at home going, Zendaya, are you going to still do that weird Euphoria show on HBO? It makes me very uncomfortable.
I apparently need to watch that because that comes up so often.
It's so weird. Yeah. It's a very weird show. But I think worth seeing. It's a little icky, but it's worth seeing.
Sounds like it's better than The Idol, which also I didn't watch. But
you know who does a lot of projects?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
that was Dunaway level steering us back on track.
Wow. Yeah.
Seriously, like, we just saw, he's done... the Puss in Boots thing. He was just in the new Indiana Jones movie.
That's right.
The guy is working.
He's a worker. It felt like he had a big pause and then working again.
Yeah.
Or you know what? Boots, as I look down here, it's not really much of a pause. It's a bunch of shit no one saw.
There you go. We took a pause. How about that?
We took a pause. Some people hired him. Like, who's ever heard of Gunshy, The Music of Silence, Back Black Butterfly, Security, Finding Alamitra.
Black Back Butterfly.
Like, none of these are...
I got to watch that.
The closest thing we got here is SpongeBob movie in 2015. Between 2015 and lately, it's all been stuff you haven't heard of.
Yeah. Yeah, they killed him so quick and just so dismissively in this film.
They set him up so well.
That's also not how blood works when you get cut in the neck.
But I thought that was interesting because it was very minimalized. There was very little blood in this film. And his neck slitting It was just the most minimum amount of blood. I kept waiting for him to get up and go, nah, I'm with this kid. I'm okay.
I did too. I thought that's what they're going to do, but instead it was just to maintain their PG-13 rating, I think.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
There was a video, straight to video, Puss in Boots called Puss in Boots, The Three Diablos. That's cool.
Oh, jeez. Hitman's wife's bodyguard, I hear, is pretty good. They made some sequel,
that's
the
sequel,
I think.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Or was it? It was. Yeah, that's right, because the first one was the Hitman's.
Right.
Wife? No, it was the wife. What was the first one? Because it was bodyguard was the last word in that, because it's
Hitman's wife's
Bodyguard, I think, right? That was just Hitman's bodyguard, the first one, then the second one.
The Hitman's bodyguard, so then the sequel was Hitman's wife's bodyguard?
Oh, the first one was the Hitman's wife.
The Hitman's
was. Okay, so.
Well, who's the bodyguard?
Isn't Ryan Reynolds the bodyguard? I thought he was in the first one.
I don't know now that you say it.
See, this is what you get for naming your movie stupid.
Yeah. The Hitman's bodyguard, Ryan Reynolds, Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, shit. The Hitman's bodyguard.
His bodyguard, right? That's what it's called.
Well, it's the time traveler's wife. And
Randy, stop your trying to confuse me.
I can't. What I can't deal with is the difference between saying Hitman and saying Hitman.
Hitman's
wife's.
He maybe had the best 1995 of all time. Check this out. He was
still Antonio.
Yeah, he was in Miami Rhapsody, Desperado, still one of my favorite movies ever. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. Four Rooms, Assassins, Never Talk to Strangers, and Too Much. Who else did that many movies in a freaking year? That's crazy.
Yeah, he was killing it.
And the year before that, Philadelphia. That was a big deal, big Oscar winner.
I was curious about in this movie. I kept feeling like, man, they're not playing Antonio Banderas' character up big enough and evil enough, and I was curious why they were doing that, and of course we saw why later in the plane, because you know he doesn't actually do any of the killing at all, does he?
Well, he does the dying now, he doesn't do any of the killing.
who read all the dialogue when they started speaking? Was it Italian? What was he speaking?
Spanish.
Okay.
It was all Spain.
Yeah, they were going to town at that, and I was like, I don't have time to read this.
Spanish dialect is a little bit weird though, right? Like that whole Barcelona thing where all the time
they kept calling him Padre. I'm like, you talking about Papa Padre, or are you talking about
a priest?
What are you talking about?
Talking about Papa Padre John's, because he's literally in a freaking Papa John's.
Right, there he goes. And I'm in a Papa John's. I'm in a freaking Papa. Yeah.
Killing or having your kill your dad in the back of your car. It's a pretty gnarly move, you know?
Yeah.
Especially because.
Yeah. Can't you?
You know.
Why would you?
It's your car.
You should knock them out. So you should like etherize them or something and then go stand them up in a dumpster and then kill them.
That's right. It's we all saw Soylent Green. That's way better.
Yeah. It's just the back of a car. That's it. It's the end of the car.
Check this out.
The car. That was a nice car.
The film was banned in Vietnam and in the Philippines, by the way.
Yeah.
Because it featured a map that included the nine dash line, contested sea feature that, as per tribunal decisions of the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, this was in 2016, does not have any legal basis. So they banned it because Vietnam Philippines are like, no, that's ours. And they're like, F you, we're not playing your movie.
And the newest movie to be banned because of the nine dash line? Barbie, because there's a map in Barbie. There's a map in Barbie that shows the contested area.
Yeah. Why is Barbie showing maps? Don't be showing me no maps in your Barbie film.
I think it's even stupider that modern day governments ban a movie because a line is shown in a map. Like, what do you do? Does the line not favor one over the other or something?
It gives the Chinese, it gets complicated. There's so much history behind it, but yeah, there's a reason for those people to be mad.
No, I get China. So China and the Taiwan thing, I get that one. That's one you can read up on and understand, but this line, it's a Vietnam Philippines thing. Like, why? What? Okay, there's a line. Right. It's still a line.
Yeah. I don't have enough information other than I knew there was anger about it. And I'm like, okay, so obviously there's a lot more going on here than I'm not getting involved. I'm like, I live over here. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's going on.
Trivia also says that Tom Holland did his own stunt work for the scene where he jumps on those hanging light fixtures.
Man, he was kind of giving me I was like, man, this reminds me of Rush Hour and how physical Jackie Chan was during this time, and I'm like, oh man,
I wouldn't compare them to Jackie Chan, but I would say they were they were
had the
pretty
energy of a Jackie Chan.
Yeah, they were fun.
Especially when it was hanging from those lights.
We're in a day and age where Toms want to do their own stunts. Yeah,
that's right. Fine. All the Toms, the Cruises, the Hollands, the whatnots.
All the Toms.
Yeah. What's the deal? But I guess the fall, though, when he fell, it was a stunt double, though. So that's not cool.
Yeah,
you can't. I mean, it doesn't matter what your star wants. At some point, you kind of go, nope. Unless they're Tom Cruise, in which case they've been around forever.
They just let him do it.
He's bankrolling half the film anyway, probably. So, I mean, what does it matter?
That thing with the bike in that movie? Brian's seen it, I guess. Ibbot has seen it, right? The new
Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible.
Oh, the new Mission Impossible. Yes, right. Which apparently he did 9 or 10 times. Like,
yeah.
He basically goes off a cliff on a motorcycle with a parachute and...
I love the behind the scenes videos that are coming out so much. Yeah. I guess I'm kind of becoming the TikTok guy here, but like it's like Simon Pegg's TikTok channel, and Simon Pegg is standing out on some I don't know where they film this, but it's just like standing out on some Irish cliff or something, and Tom Cruise behind him is risking his life, and Simon Pegg is like laughing at the top of his lungs. It's so fun.
I like hearing about how crazy those movies are when they get made. And I guess they had to, they're right now paused, right? Because they were in the middle of making part two.
Yes.
And then
yeah. Which is like, that's the frustrating part, right? Show. Because there we go. The frustrating part is that we've gotten a part one to that thing, and we might have to wait years for a part two if this is the case.
That's what it sounds like. No. You might have to wait a long time. I mean, we already waited for the first one for a long time. It got delayed a ton.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I hear it's, well, you said so, but everyone I've talked to is like, this is
almost outraged me as much as the 9-line thing, the 9-dash thing.
The 9-dash line?
Okay. All right.
The 9-dash thing.
I can give you the short and simple on the lines. Okay. When you put up a map of the South China Sea,
right.
First of all, don't do that in your movie. If you don't want to
anger somebody, don't put a map on there.
Deal with China, don't do that.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why they just didn't make two versions of the movie.
I don't. That's why I don't understand. Cut it. It was easy.
Nobody needs to see it. Just take it out. We don't care.
Yeah.
So if you put up display a map of the South China Sea, China requires that you draw this U with dashes to demonstrate their territory in the South China Sea. You make this U shape with a bunch of dashes, and that signifies China owns this. So other countries who disagree vehemently with that are going to get pissed off. But you do that because you would rather that than China get pissed off.
Right. China probably funded part of this stupid thing, is it what? Come on.
Yeah.
So it's really don't do it.
Yeah.
In that photo that I put in our chat, which, you know, people, if you just want to like Google Barbie 9-dash line, you can see this.
Oh, wow.
Really so goofy. Pointless. It totally is. It is like the goofiest, silliest little cartoon map behind Barbie. But that 9-dash line off to the eastern side of
this makes me want a conspiracy theory. This thing. Come on.
Yeah. And also, that's not even I'm looking at a real map of it. The thing in Barbie is so not correct.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, none of this looks good. This looks like a kid drew it. So
it doesn't even look like the world.
I wonder if they thought
Does that say? Oh, it says real world map. It says the real world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. I'm thinking there she might like go into the real world.
That's when people stop being nice and start playing real.
Yeah. What?
So that's interesting. I'm looking at this whole, you want to go deep. There's a Wikipedia thing that goes deep, and there's like ongoing disputes and who's mad and who's not.
I want to read it just to find out why it has to be 9 dashes. Why can't you do it with like longer, maybe 7 longer dashes?
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be 9 dashes. You're making a U. And so people typically use 9, like 3 on each side and 3 on the bottom because you're making a U.
Why don't they just loop it? Just loop it like one line.
I love that we think we can create world peace if we could just get our maps right. If we could just,
we could have world peace.
Isn't that their contention? If they own, if they think they own that territory, just do one big loop, like a big, you know. I don't know.
But that's the problem, right? It's the contest of who owns what, who's part of this, who's part of that.
But
that's but.
I just got word, guys. This episode is being banned.
We're getting banned in China.
Yeah, I figured as much. But I'm like,
you don't have to even cut it. You could just have Margot Robbie stand on the other side of the frame.
Right.
So that all of Asia is behind her and we're seeing some, you know what I'm saying? Just think about this in advance. That's all you have to do.
It just seems primordial and dumb. It seems like cavemen fighting over a rock. It's just weird to me.
And the fact they didn't change it makes me even go even more. I'm like, oh, you're going to have a whole territory, not watch your movie, even when you're complaining that you're not getting enough eyes, and you won't even make a simple adjustment to a cut. I'm like, all right, come on.
By the way, Barbie is 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's doing good.
Good.
Seems like people like that movie a lot.
But all those tomatoes are pink for some reason.
Yeah, weird.
Yes, they went and paid so many big websites to rebrand. If you go to Google and search Barbie, Google turns pink.
Oh, no way, really? I was joking. Yeah. I haven't looked at Rotten Tomatoes. Are the tomatoes really pink?
Yes.
Yeah.
Seriously, go.
I'm going to do Google.
Go online and search up Barbie somewhere.
That's a good use of your money right there.
Yeah, Google. Oh, my Lord, Google. Do a Google search for Barbie. I implore you, like Brian and Randy said, you got to see what this does to everything. And there's even sparklies. Holy shit.
Oh, my Lord. Yes, please.
I know that my Echo Show wants me to load the Barbie theme, and there's no damn way.
What happens if you type in Oppenheimer? Will there be a bunch of little atomic bombs?
That's what I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out right now, Oppenheimer.
God, even in dark mode, it's like dark pink.
Yeah, me too. I'm in dark mode as well. And it's like this dark pink.
Oppenheimer does nothing. They didn't change it.
I would like to know, by the way, what it costs. So how much money did the Barbie producers spend to get IMDb to reskin just the Barbie page? I would like to know.
I think that's probably a good idea. IMDb does it all the time, though, right? That's kind of like, I'm sure that's...
Google is Google just doing this on a lark, or is Google is this part of a marketing thing where they got paid for this? Like that
Google gets paid.
That seems like a lot of money.
You better believe Google gets paid.
I don't know. Google has their own fun sometimes with their search logos and crap. I don't know. I don't know about this. See, now we got more conspiracies.
I like to think the worst of people. I'm going to go, they got paid.
You think they got paid? Because you like to, you like to go straight to where people suck, and then
I would have think that they suck. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you would rather have them suck. I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
But it's wild to me that if you go, let's see, if I do it from the main menu, the whole thing just goes.
Wait,
bonkers.
Didn't we watch a movie called Uncharted this week?
Yeah, we did.
Okay,
that was the one. Are you familiar with it? Are you familiar with the film?
I am. When I Google search Uncharted, you know what comes up?
What do you get?
A video game.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
He's according to this trivia, maybe this is scrutiny. I better do a scrutiny. Where's scrutiny? Here he is. Right. Where'd he go? Scrutiny. Oh my gosh. Is he? No, that's Oh My China.
You waxed your anus.
No.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Hold it. Why? No, that's a. Jeez, where is
it? My gosh, I just picture your soundboard looking like the front yard of Sanford and Son.
Oh, Jesus.
Click on the wash machine, nothing.
How do you have these things organized?
Well,
it sounds like you're hitting
the
random button.
I thought it was right frickin' here. I did something bad. All right, anyway, I'll figure out what I did later. But a little scrutiny this direction. Tom Holland says, or it's said here in the trivia, that Tom Holland was cast as Nathan Drake after Sony turned him down for a young James Bond movie. He had a pitch for that. I don't know if he had a pitch.
I do believe, because I know that Sony has been floating the idea around of a young James Bond reboot for a while.
And what would that be? Like Bond?
Shit.
Bond when he's a kid or a teenager or something?
No.
I don't know. That sounds awful to me.
I think it's an interesting take.
Really?
No, we don't need basically just be the overactioning of James Bond. It wouldn't be like any of his real, like what made him dark and broody.
We already had this movie anyway. It was called Agent Cody Banks. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Just do a sequel to that or a reboot or whatever. It doesn't need to be James Bond. Leave James Bond alone.
Did you ever watch Agent Cody with Frankie Muniz?
Yeah, it's a piece of shit.
Does he remember it?
It's a piece of shit. It's bad.
We didn't do it here, though.
We never did it
no,
here.
No, we didn't do it.
Because I've never seen it.
It's garbage.
I've never
I
seen
did.
Agent Cody Banks. That's so exciting. Oh,
it's yeah. not
Is
exciting.
It, though? I mean, I feel like there's some movies where it's like, oh, my God, Brian, I think you've never seen blah, blah, blah.
Dunaway,
but
you
I
are
feel like Agent Cody Banks is really far outside that circle.
Dunaway is gaslighting all of us. He's gaslighting us. There's no
it's
way.
Ian McShane and Keith David.
It
come
doesn't
on.
Matter. That movie's shit. I've seen it. It's bad. That's a bad movie.
When did you see it?
Years ago, but. I saw okay. it. It's bad.
Yeah, Warren it's, Beatty's an Ishtar. It doesn't make
name,
you good.
Name one scene from it.
Madonna's in Dick Tracy. Doesn't make that good.
Oh, y'all don't like Dick,
surprise.
Y'all don't like Dick Tracy?
I think Dick Tracy's bad, but well, I'll watch it yeah. here with us. I'd watch Cody Banks here if you're saying we should watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. This is no problem. Oh, I found my thing.
See, this is the problem with saying things are good.
Are we going to watch the one where he makes Paul Giamatti's face turn blue? What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Liar? Big Liar.
Big Liar. Yeah, Big Liar. Yeah. That's right.
That gets used a lot as a meme and stuff, I've noticed. Yeah. It's weird.
Scrutiny.
I found the file. All right, real quick. there's more scrutiny. This is even worse. All right. Tom Holland revealed. I just don't buy this. Tom Holland revealed he was playing Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, with his friends during the production of Spider-Man Homecoming 2017, and even refused to come to the Spider-Man set until he had completed the car chase sequence in Chapter 11. I don't believe it.
I believe the first part. I do not believe the second part.
Yeah, I'm not coming playing, to the set
was,
until
he
I'm
was
done.
Playing PvP mode with his friends. And I think that's what you're
well,
what
it
you're
says
doing.
The, it says Chapter 11 hidden in plain sight, the single player campaign mode thing. So if that if
good
that's
on him.
If that's
good
the case
I for him,
I don't buy it. Look, I buy that Henry Cavill almost missed the call to be Superman because he was raiding in World of Warcraft. I believe that because a lot of us ignore phone calls during that. I get it. Uh-huh. This, come on, dude.
I don't know these kids today.
hey, Mr. Holland, come.
They're a little more self-aware about their mental health. Well, I think it's a good thing.
He was in his 20s. He was in his 20s. I'm not sure I'd call him a kid. Yeah. But what do they do? Call him and they say, Mr. Holland, you must report to the set immediately. We have an entire crew here waiting. Not till I finish Chapter 11 car chase scene with my friends.
Yeah. Well, he didn't say all that. That was revealed later.
He just blew some smoke. I don't
you know
it. Me and Zendaya are in the middle of coitus. I can't come to the set. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, like, sorry, Mr. Holland. Resume.
Resume.
You gotta say it in a much higher voice, by the way.
Me and Zendaya.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
All right. Also never learned the true rings. That ring thing was a total. That's my chick in the bucket is the ring.
Grab a bucket.
What is that ring for?
Oh,
what's the point?
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's part of the story, right? That's part of the.
I mean, it's his. It's his motivation, I guess, but
connection
I was
to his brother.
Yeah.
Well, you need to see. When you see the post-credit scene or the mid-credit scene. That guy really wants his ring, the guy that steals it from him.
So it's about their parents, right? Their parents hand it down and is part of their
Drake's
family
legacy.
History, right? Their legacy that it's what legacy. Ties them into to all that.
Ibbot's coming up with new video game titles over here. Drake's Legacy.
Uncharted 7, Drake's Legacy.
I wouldn't be surprised if we get around
Uncharted
to that.
Uncharted 9.
Oh, for sure. I guess we had the Lost Legacy. We don't need Drake's Legacy. Right. But we've had, you know, Drake's Deception, Drake's Fortune.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I laugh at one more trope before we do a clip?
Let's do a trope. Hold on.
Just so you're flying somewhere tropical-ish or something, and you'd fall out of a plane. Through a series of incredible luck, just huge coincidences, you manage to survive a little landing in the ocean. You ask your other person, "Hey, what do you see?" And they say, "Nothing around us for miles and miles. We're stuck in the ocean." And then you turn a certain direction, and there's the White Lotus.
Right.
And it was so like that moment just made me laugh so hard.
Really.
You know, like how the amount of luck to land in feet.
But that's the Uncharted series, right? I mean, the whole thing is about, you know, part of it's just flat out luck, right?
Did you guys think? Well, I don't know if anyone else noticed it, but we've seen a lot of movies on FilmSack over the last 12 years, or whatever it's been.
How many? Like 610?
Exactly that many. Well, some of those are others, but anyway. The waiting for the title card, this movie didn't give you a title card, didn't call it Uncharted until the final moment before the credits happen.
Right.
I think that might be the first time in film sack history. Just our history. Yeah. I'm sure other movies have done this, but a movie that didn't give us a title card until right when the credits rolled, I don't feel like we've seen that here. And I thought of you guys, and I went, I wonder if they'll think about this when they see this title
card. I did not.
I didn't think about it. Yeah.
Because you get it a lot in, like, I think some Marvel.
And you get a title card that is the movie poster with all the faces, like the six people's faces on it.
Right. But you actually get, like, the name goes ka-chunk and says Uncharted, and they didn't do it the whole
You've
thing.
You've been watching Uncharted, video which games, I appreciate.
Video games do that a lot, and also Marvel movies do that a lot.
I was going to say Marvel, I think Infinity War did that at the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think you're right. But in this, in our case, I don't think we've seen it. Just a weird, it's a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, it's modern, right? It's the modern thing.
It is, but does it help your movie if you're based on a video game and maybe you're not as mainstream as you think you are? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, I mean, it doesn't, I don't think it helps or hurts. It's just like an artistic choice that is just, I don't know. To me, it feels irrelevant. It's not like you've forgotten what movie you're in. I will know. In 6 months.
I was going to say, you'll forget.
If it's on broadcast TV, which nobody watches.
You're going to remember a movie called Old Floating Boats. That's what you'll remember.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Old Pirate floaters. Ships in the sky.
I like that.
Oh, and I will admit, so when they drop the girl, the bad girl, she falls. That was a gnarly fall. Yeah. And then when they drop the ship on her head, that's pretty good.
Yeah, what's that trope called, Randy? Because I know we saw that in the Kurt Russell dropping a semi onto J.D. Walsh's face.
Yes, that was so good.
The satellite and the GoldenEye, the satellite on Sean Bean's face. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Love that stuff.
Let's see.
I do like when they put a fine point on it. It's like, boom, there.
I love it.
Oh, they could have survived that. And then it's like, oh, nope. Okay.
Definitely not.
I like that sort of thing.
I do too.
I like that.
Yeah. Even though when I see it, I immediately go, oh, one of these, but
I don't
want to
see
excited.
It in every movie, but I do appreciate when it's done well.
Was there a grossed out Scott the most moment in this one?
No, not really.
Is it bubble yum versus bubblicious?
No.
Anything like that?
No. Because none of that's gross. They didn't do anything gross, really. The only. I mean, this isn't gross, but it's a gross use of my brain. When they pretended that fountain had so much water in it that it would drown the entire basement of thing.
I always have trouble with that kind of stuff. When you have the Rube Goldberg of devices from ancient times, it's been there for what, 400 or 500 years. And it's like, I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah. When there's just that water in the fountain ended and then there's still somehow millions of gallons still pouring into them. It just didn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And you can park your brain like in Last Crusade, the penitent man shall pass and the blades and all that.
Right.
You sort of can park your brain. But I think those are just better directorial hands, which didn't work in Skull, by the way. Crystal Skull, those hands broke. I don't think Spielberg was doing his best work.
His hands are broke.
But when he pulled stuff off in the first three that worked just fine for me, and I don't know about the new one because it's not him. But
yeah.
So to answer your question a bit, the trope that I went right to was called karmic death.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's not just you had it coming, but you get like there's a moment of overkill. Mm-hmm. So like a good example is like in Raising Arizona at the end, the bad guy
is
fighting what's his name? Nick Cage ends up rolling away from the bad guy who's covered in grenades and Nick Cage pulled one of the pins.
Yeah.
And like he blows up, like he really blows up. Like that's it. That's a karmic death.
We've seen one with Lance Henriksen at the end of Hard Target, where he gets a grenade in his pants. Jean-Claude Van Damme shoves one in his pants. And he goes,
and that's why you remember that movie, because of that one scene.
No, you're right. Yep. Well, I love that movie. Yeah.
There's a bunch of these in Jurassic Park movies. This is like a thing that the bad guy is always going to end up getting eaten by a T-Rex or something.
Oh, the clever girl moment, that's one. Even though he's not a bad guy, but Jurassic Park's full of those.
Isn't he, though?
But
isn't he?
You know
what? Shocking those dinosaurs in the top.
But Randy's basically named it. That movie is full of, I don't know, 10 of these. You got Newman's death, the lawyer on the toilet, all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it plays a huge role in that movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Karma does.
Man,
that's so good. In this one, the problem here, again, I liked this movie. I would recommend watching this movie. But the problem here is that when Braddock betrays Santiago, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like that's the problem. I'm not like screaming excited and like, No, I don't care. She, you know,
good.
She gets crushed.
That's why you want to hire James Gunn to take all your flimsy scripts and make them meaningful.
That's right. Need I really think to punch that's his up. Thing. That's right.
That's his thing. That's what he's good at.
That's his thing.
And he's going to do, I hope he can do that for DC. I'm sure he already did a movie that did that for DC, and everyone keeps forgetting he did. Suicide Squad was so good.
Yeah, so good.
Do that again.
So good. So good.
When you get hungry, you want to eat, right? That's normal. But how about eating better and faster? And I don't mean eating faster. How about prepping faster? So you can take your time and eat at your pace. We are in the thick of summer, people. And you might be thinking, I don't know if I can bother to make wholesome, convenient meals for myself. Well, good news. That wholesome and convenience can come from Factor. So you can get back to your sunny, active days. America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. You can fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, you'll eat well, and you'll stay on track for your goals. Too busy to think about lunch? Well, keep your energy up with lunch to go. Effortless, wholesome meals like grain bowls and salad toppers. They're ready to eat when you go on the go. So no microwave required. Head to factormeals.com/filmsack50 and use the code filmsack50 to get 50% off. Look, if you're too busy and you're just piled up with stuff, we got a family reunion coming up. I don't want to think about having to cook too much food. I'm kind of terrible at it anyway. With Factor, I can skip all that extra stuff. Add the trip to the store. I don't have to do the chopping, the prepping, the cleaning up, or any of that stuff. But I still get all the flavor and the nutrition I need with Factor's fresh, never frozen meals and ready to just eat and heat in 2 minutes. Heat it up and eat it. It's pretty good. You're looking for calorie conscious options this summer? Try delicious dietitian approved calorie smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. I need to do more of those. And this July, get Factor and enjoy eating without the hassle. All right. Or August for that matter. We're almost done with July. We're careening toward August. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor packed meals delivered straight to your door. 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/filmsack50 and use code filmsack50 to get 50% off your first box. That's code filmsack50 at factormeals.com/filmsack50 to get 50% off your first box. Do it today. All right, let's get to some stuff here, some clips. You know,
ooh, we should watch The Stuff. That's a great film.
Yeah, The Stuff is great, isn't it?
The Stuff, sure.
Yeah.
Let's start with this clip here. This is where is it here? Oh, it's this. Okay, I counted these. This is his first oh crap. Okay, so crap. Oh crap, number one.
Oh crap.
It's when he figures out he's hanging by a bunch of luggage out the back of a plane.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll get to more oh crap soon. But next we have
more crap.
We have this one.
No. I'm not going to keep this thing. You're gonna shit all over my floor.
Oh, that's when he doesn't want the cat.
Oh, the cat.
Didn't want the cat. That was
cat
great.
Cat in a bucket.
Well,
they addressed the
you
cat.
You gotta watch the stinger.
Watch the very end.
Yeah, the stinger brings the cat back. So there's a.
Doesn't matter. Solution. That was a cat.
No, doesn't matter.
Hey,
yeah, it's really cat in a box.
How are you gonna give a man a cat and then he immediately goes out of town? How are you gonna do?
Yeah,
no.
It doesn't work that way. But he's got some. Well, he had the guy watching the cat on the app, remember?
Yeah.
Cat app.
That's right.
It's like a pet watching service. And then it shows up at the very end. I think it pulls itself out of chicken the bucket territory.
Yeah.
Barely though.
Barely, yeah.
If you're not really watching really close, you'll
And if you miss the stinger, it's like makes no sense. But yeah, the stinger will tell you. The Scottish voice guy, he was kind of funny. Here's his first little moment here. This is at the dinner party thing.
You shouldn't have come out to play with a big boys, Wayne, because you're about to get a proper Scottish welcome.
Awesome.
Did you guys close caption that, or did it?
Yes,
just
I
me?
Turned. That is when I turned.
Yeah,
on.
Me too.
It's when you turned it on. That's great.
I love Stephen Waddington. Like, don't get me wrong. I love Stephen.
What
Waddington.
What do we know him from?
So let's see. Imitation.
He's married to Jane March, who was with Bruce Willis in that Color of Night movie.
Oh, whoa. Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Way back in the day, he was in Sleepy Hollow.
That's where I remember from.
I Sleepy Hollow.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
But I've seen him on something. Oh. There's this series that's like a ripoff of Downton Abbey called Jamestown.
Oh.
and he's in that.
Is we it, actually just saw him in Breakdown, speaking of Kurt Russell and J.T. Walsh in that movie.
Really?
He was the cowboy in the bank that silently threatens Kurt Russell.
Is he faking the Scottish accent, or is this
Oh, real? No.
Okay.
That's his deal.
Okay. It sounds like a Scottish name, so I figured it must be, but...
Yeah. Any relation to the Ted Lasso Waddington, Hannah Waddington?
I'm not finding it, if true.
Okay. Oh, that'd be cool. Okay.
It's just one of those guys that's just been everywhere, it seems like.
Not a terribly uncommon name on that island.
Is Hannah Waddington the girlfriend?
No, she's the tall Annie Lennox looking owner of the team.
Oh, the mom, the shame lady from
Game of Thrones.
Lady, right.
Got it. They probably similar age.
Oh. Did you guys ever watch the TV series Jabberwock?
No, never saw Jabberwock. Is it Jabberwocky? Or is that what?
Yeah, that you would think so, right?
What am I thinking of? I don't know what that is.
Well, you're thinking about the Jabberwocky, which is a real thing. Well, something for real, yeah.
Music?
Which is a fake thing from another thing.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me words are made up anyway, no matter what word?
It's made up.
Oh, shit. All right, here he is again doing some talking, and he can't understand him.
You shouldn't have come out to play with our camp boys. We ain't about to get a proper squad as well.
Whoa. I literally have no idea what you're saying.
I mean, look, the other thing about the Drake games, they were innovative in one very important way, which was video games were not great at conveying humor, have never been. And those really did. They captured characterizations. Nathan Drake, this scoundrel, these facial expressions. Like, it was next level when that first game came out. People couldn't believe what we were seeing. And so the movie needed to have that kind of humor. And I think it just fell short a little bit. It's a little too easy on the humor. It's too simple. It's like, oh, I can't understand the fast-talking Scottish guy. Ha, ha, ha. Great joke. You know, it's just not. They could have done better there, I think. But. That's right. A writing problem. All right, here's some serious Marky Mark going on right here. Check this out.
Oh, thank God. Guys, she's trying to steal the cross.
Now, that's the Marky Mark I like.
Just that. Like,
oh, there's lots more. Don't worry. I got plenty.
He marks it up for the whole movie.
Yeah, he does it a lot. But just that little bit.
She's trying to steal the cross.
That's the most, like, I think I found a Transformer.
It really is, yeah.
Here's something about trees.
I've seen the picture of the tree. Where's the gold? Is it under the tree? Is it in the tree?
Look out the windows. A lot of trees in Barcelona.
Tree? Huh? At the tree?
Going at the top. Going high at the end of your sentence?
Yeah.
That's where you go.
Yeah.
Hey, Ant.
We should all work on our impressions of him because it's a fun one. Right. If you can get it.
It is. Yeah.
I feel like it's been done to death. I'm afraid of trying to do that impression. Right.
Mm-hmm. Here's the Elder Wahlberg doing Spanish talk. So enjoy this.
Arriba, abajo, al centro y por dentro.
It sounds like he really phoned that in to me.
I can't stop saying that. I really want Marky Mark and Casey Affleck to just talk in their natural Boston accents, like all the time.
I like Casey Affleck's natural voice. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
There's something about it that's so strange.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? They're like the opposite of each other. Casey Affleck is like the lesser Affleck, and Donnie Wahlberg's the lesser Donnie Wahlberg. But then they all do stuff together. It's weird. It's a weird deal.
Yeah.
Okay, this is very Spanish dialect Spanish, which is very different than if you went to Mexico or somewhere else. And it always throws me because there's a lot of in their stuff. So here's just a taste of it. This is the old guy, the dad.
¿Quieres arruinarme el único lugar al que vengo para encontrar la paz?
La paz.
It really throws me. It's just so not English. It's hard to explain. It just sounds weird to my brain. And I'm sure over there it's all fine. It's what you sound like, but it throws me when I hear it. All right, here's... he says this like an emo rocker I wrote, so I'll play it.
Nuns. Why's it always got to be nuns?
Why's it always got to be nuns?
Yeah, it's the snakes reference.
Why's it always got to be rats? Why's it going to be snakes? Yeah.
Here's Marky Mark and some more dialogue.
Kid, I don't even have my glasses. I can't read this shit.
Yeah, it's definitely him. It's like The Happening all over again.
Uh-huh.
Indie reference.
So, when did you decide to become Indiana Jones?
Also, Tom Holland did kind of a... The whole it's weird.
The weird slurry choice. A little bit.
Yeah, a little slurry. I don't think he was just
drunk there. He's drinking a lot in this film.
It'd be great.
That's true. That might have been one of the scenes where he had like eight bottles of wine.
Right. They just dubbed over him with Nolan North.
Maybe it felt a tiny bit like he was losing his accent placement.
Yeah. Because he's actually really, like, his Peter Parker kills it. So good.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know he was British until someone told me. But, yeah, and this one, maybe it leaks out a bit.
Get out of here.
Oh, that lighter. I hated that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the scene where you can't stop pushing it. All right, I may have played that twice, but still, it was a lot of clicking, man. A lot of lighter. I didn't like that dumb device. I thought it was dumb.
No.
Second, oh crap. Okay, we had to wait a little while, but here's our second oh crap.
Oh crap.
All right, so that is there. Oh crap. That one. It's a Nathan Drake thing. I realize what it is that basically, Brian. It's like
yeah.
It's like Sam Beckett doing that. What's this? I don't know what this is. Here it is. I'll just play it.
Answer me, guys. What do you got?
Oh, it's another really good Wahlberg.
Answer me, guys. What do you got?
What do you got?
Really felt like he phoned it in, but whatever. He's a good actor. He can do stuff. The Departed, amazing. Mind blowing. Best performance. And then he does this and he's just like I wrote, he is good at this stuff.
500 years ago, my family was betrayed.
He's just cool, man.
Yeah.
I like Banderas.
That new Puss in Boots, by the way, is streaming. Saw it last night that it had just got added to...
Netflix, right?
Netflix, is that where it is?
I think so. They're advertising it to me last night, I think.
The one that just unbelievably well-reviewed.
I have heard nothing but amazing things. In fact, you know what? May watch that with Kim this weekend or something.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
Should I fire up Shrek? Shrek, you should watch Shrek. Do it.
Yeah.
It's terrible now. Just
no, I'm putting it on my videotape, my VHS.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sure.
2001 era videotape. I love your VHS fascination right now. I think it's great.
All right.
Don't stop.
It's fine.
Here's his third Oh Crap.
Oh Crap!
Which is basically a repeat of Oh Crap 1, but they caught up to the timeline, and then he said Oh Crap again. So there's that. Here's Nolan North and his cameo.
Whoa, what the hell happened to you two?
Fell out of a car that fell out of a plane?
Huh. Hey, you know, something like that happened to me once.
Okay.
Good luck.
Do you hear the actual Uncharted theme in the background? That music?
Oh, really?
I didn't
really
notice that. I didn't notice the variation of the theme. That's
here,
funny.
I'll play the part that plays. You can hear it. Oh, wait.
Okay. Hey, you know, something like that happened to me once.
Yeah, okay.
It's a great theme.
I didn't notice that. That's hilarious. But yeah, I was watching this with Audra, and she doesn't know anything about the Uncharted series. And even she was sitting there looking at the screen, and she looked at me and says, "Are we supposed to know him?"
Yeah. It's like, he's primarily a voice actor.
He
does some live action, but you mostly just know him from games. And I don't know, but I guess that was a gamer Stan Lee kind of thing.
Yeah.
For gamers, nerd nod. But nerd nod.
I like that. We should start using that.
I like it. All right. Here's some really nice Marky Mark. All right. Enjoy.
Real nice.
Yeah, see? Yeah, yeah. Real nice.
Wicked nice. That's wicked nice.
That's right. And then we end it on the fourth Oh Crap. Enjoy.
Oh, crap.
And that was in the stinger, if you didn't stick around for it. Well, all right then. That concludes that. It's time for the Film Sack Checklist. Hated the lighter joke after a while? Check. Someone should check to see if Antonio Banderas has any blood in his body because none of it came out. Check.
Yeah, he was a vampire. Yep, right. I guess. I don't know.
Empty vampire.
And those bangs. Oh, man. Liked it so better when he pulled his hair back.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Get it long again, like Desperado long. You know.
Oh, geez. Yeah, if you can. Yeah.
Can we do that here? Can we get to Desperado at some point? We got to do it.
Yeah. Sure.
I love that movie so much. Tarantino shows up in it in a secret room behind a really bad toilet. Ah, it's such a good movie. Finally, Nolan North is the Make-A-Wish Stan Lee. Check. let's move on to the Star Trek connections. Got to be at least one or two here. Yeah.
You just named it. Well done.
Nolan North,
Yep, there's only one. Nolan North is our OG Drake, right? He's the voice of the character. And so, of course, he's going to have a brief appearance in this movie.
Right.
He played Hotel Guest. So he was he had a role in Star Trek Into Darkness. Just this year, he had a small role in a new episode of Star Trek Picard. But Nolan North, for me, is the voice of many characters in Lower Decks. And you got to watch Lower Decks. He repeatedly plays Transporter Chief Lars Lundy, and he gets the most beautiful little role in an episode. He plays this alien called Karanch, who's a super hunter, like this big, beefy hunter. Okay, like all he lives to hunt something.
Alien hunter.
And that character intersects with Boimler on Boimler's Yes Day. And so, so Boimler says, "What can I do for you?" And the guy says, "You can hunt. Let me hunt you."
Nice.
And Boimler, and it's Yes Day, so Boimler has to say yes.
Wow.
And then they spend a good long time with Karanch hunting Boimler and trying to kill him. And it's very funny. Nolan North is always great.
Yeah, he's great.
He's our only Star Trek connection.
Great in video games of all sorts too, just not just Nathan Drake. And he's very good at mixing it up, so it doesn't just sound like you're listening to Nolan North every time. He does lots of variation. He's very good. And also, according to Liam O'Brien, a very, very nice guy if you meet him in real life.
And yes, the name Karanch is a mashup of ketchup and ranch.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That everyone would have
figured that out, but that's hilarious.
Just as you thought.
Now, hold on. Okay. Is that gross or not? Because if I had a corn dog and I had those two blops in a little tray, I would mix those two.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But I would have no issue mixing ketchup and ranch.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Because it's only really one flavor poke away from doing regular pink sauce, right? Like,
yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Because mayonnaise in there and stuff.
I'll bet there's some place that actually uses that for pink sauce.
I'm now going to be that place. That's who's going to use it.
I'm going to be that place right here.
Scotty's, where you get ranch and ketchup to make the pink sauce.
And I'll do those flattened burgers the way Freddy's does them. That's how I'll do my burgers.
Oh, so good.
I'm ready. Let's go. We're into business. All right. Let's move on then from our Star Trek to our soundtrack grade. I would give it an AM for a mix of okay and good. I think there were moments that were awesome, but I really do just wish they would have repurposed the game score because it's so good. Game score is one of the greatest game scores of all time. And not to use
it's
that.
It's not like Sony couldn't have done it. I mean,
no, it's their right. They have rights to it. They own Columbia Pictures. It's their production company. Like, there's absolutely zero reason not to use that outside of your cameo with what's his name,
right?
And if that's all they did there, it would annoy me that they did that just to keep the cameo more cameo-ish or something. Because the rest of it was just kind of like, I don't know. It felt fake and not part of the world.
I want to give the score an A+. A+. I thought this score was fantastic. I hadn't seen the movie before. I was enthralled by the music. It's by Ramin Djawadi, probably top three working composers right now in Hollywood.
He is good.
We're talking about, you know, the person who composed Game of Thrones and Westworld and Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
And Pacific, you slept on the Pacific Rim score, by the way. That is one of the best scores of the last 10 years.
No, I agree.
And
it's good.
I thought this was so good from beginning to end. It was a little bit derivative. And so, like, I think I wanted that. I wanted it to sound like Indiana Jones and Romancing the Stone and so on and so on. And it did.
I think when you said I would like to give it an A+, I assume you mean a plus, so I would give a C+, because you're just saying a plus, right? You're not meaning
I would give it a PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, oh, there you go, PS+. I like that.
Oh,
now you can be on PSN and play multiplayer. Nice job.
Nice.
And it only costs you $10 a month plus, you know, unless you want the middle one or whatever. You do. Okay, here's the next thing I was going to say, which is what? It's it's the Twitter post. Twitter post, it's, you know, we'll just call it the social media post, and you guys have a limit,
Will we ever call it that?
280 character limit is all you get, and we're going to start this week with Randy.
I just want to explain something. When you write a poem, you often write the couplet at the end, and then you build to it. And in this case, I wrote the couplet at the end four times, and I loved it so much that I decided to keep it, and it became a poem that is only the couplet at the end. I just want you to understand, because it's weird. So
framed.
Here we go. Uncharted. Repetitious backstab styled. Nathan Drake is a small child. Marky Mark never once smiled. Nathan Drake is a small child. Indy Jones tropes all compiled. Nathan Drake is a small child. Banderas is bored and mild. Nathan Drake is a small child. This thing ran the treasure map gamut. Should have been Nathan Fillion, damn it.
Very clever.
Perfect. I liked it.
It's very good.
Yeah, that was very good. Put that in the thing so I can put it in the show notes for the patrons. They liked it when I put your lyrics or like Brian's lyrics in your stuff. We can't bottle up what Dunaway does. It's too volatile. It's like high energy.
It's got to be heard to appreciated.
You can't read it. And if you try to,
you wouldn't understand my annotation. You would not get it. No, you would.
Yeah, if we all try to handle it, we'll get like cancers. And
yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
You got to use very lead lined gloves in a glass case.
That's right. So savor it while we live. That's moving right. On to one Brian Dunaway.
Oh, so I just want to frame my Twitter post, let you guys know that it's not going to rhyme in any way. And if it does, it's purely coincidental and incidental. All right. Uncharted, like a movie based on a video game, based on a series of movies, based on some other movies that were probably based on some books that are not this movie. Hashtag Tropalicious. Hashtag oh crap.
Hashtag oh crap. That'll get you far in social media in 2023, yep. I think. Nicely done. Brian Ibbett, you bringing up the rear here for us. What do you got?
Sure. Uncharted. Can I respawn back to the point before I click play?
Oh.
Wow.
You'll do that in a year when you forget about it.
I will.
True
yes.
story. True story. Yeah, but
I technically already did respawn back to the
absolutely did.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I've seen this before.
It sounds like we're kind of scoring this thing, and I always want to get away from that and just ask the question, would you watch the sequel? Like, would you look forward to the sequel?
At home on a streaming service, yes. I wouldn't go to a theater for
it. Yes. There you go. Perfect.
So according to what else is at the theater at the time, but yes, I would definitely watch a sequel.
Yeah. I would. And I also think there's opportunity here. I think there's potential here that they didn't quite tap yet and it could get better, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I would. I think an adherence to the game a little closer is maybe even more possible for a sequel because I think people are less afraid of that. Hell, Naughty Dog's, you know, own uber successful Last of Us series is proof that you can really adhere to what the source was and not veer too far, and you'll be okay. You'll be better than okay. You'll get Emmy nominations and stuff.
You got Tom Holland, who is amazing physical actor, but he doesn't have to be. You could definitely make the next one for a lot smaller budget if you didn't try to make it so darn big. If you just gave us a big story and not a big action sequences and stuff, I think I would enjoy it more.
Well,
and it would be more in line with
I think so too. I do think you need, unfortunately, those games are, they're kind of rife with big set pieces. So I think you kind of have to.
But not
have
the whole
those.
Film. I mean, this is just like from one big set piece to the next.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a fair
I just
point.
Rewatched The Martian this week and it has Sebastian Stan in it. And so he was on my mind while watching this. Yeah. I was thinking, wow, Sebastian Stan would have made a good Nathan Drake.
You totally would, I think. Yeah.
You know what? I think I agree with that. And I also think, I can't think of his name, so I'll have to think about it later. There are a lot of people I think that could do this, this character. It's not that he's bad. I just think they're aiming for the wrong era. Sully in the games is his old man, and he's loyal to him for all these reasons. I don't need to build up to that. Just go straight to that.
Yeah.
I don't like origin stories. I'm sick of origin stories. Why do we keep doing that to ourselves?
I would have enjoyed Chris Pine. That's another one that I thought would have been real good.
Especially after Dungeons and Dragons, man. Chris Pine could totally do this thing that we needed for this.
I totally agree. Also, you know what? Do like Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark specifically is such a great lesson in how to hit the ground running without having to give me an origin story. Yeah, you just go have him in the middle of the thing and you explain it as you go. We know who Indiana Jones is pretty quick and we don't need to know about all the early stuff. And then you can earn the ability to do it in your scene in Last Crusade and I have issues with that whole sequence, but at least you've earned the right to go back and have a moment of origin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just hit the ground running, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just have a drink first. Mm-hmm. No sense in, you know, having full dinner and getting your whole backstory. Let's just have a little drink.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And move forward.
Yeah. He's going to get a gold idol. And for some reason, Doc Ock says, throw me the idol, I'll throw you the whip. Just go.
Yeah. Betrayed.
Betrayed. Betrayal.
So I wrote down one other person that I would have liked to see take this on. And they're all in their 40s, by the way. You'd notice Chris Pine's like 42. Sebastian Stan's in his 40s. For some reason, I think given the right haircut and styling and everything, Bill Hader would have been awesome.
That'd be fun. Like
a little skinny, but yeah.
I would, very snarky.
I'd see that just because I'd want to see it. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, his snark could fit well, or maybe have him write it. I like the way he writes too. That guy's great.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the alternate titles. These were just handed to me. Crazy stuff here. It's all on a napkin. Crazy enough this week. It's really weird. Nathan Drake can eat his cake. A little bit of a rhyme there, but that didn't happen. So instead, they almost went with stick the cross in all the holes.
Well, if we put them together and make
two crosses, two holes.
And what ladder. What if you just take an axe to that wooden cabinet you're trying to get into?
That always pisses me off when they do this kind of stuff. I'm like, you just get a freaking, you know, truck and they just boom, just blow it. I don't know what you do.
Yeah, but then you do that trope where it's like, it looks like you have to be really intricate and then someone just kicks the door open.
Yeah.
And they kind of did that with the girl a little bit. When they tried to go through the one door, she just like bang and kicks it open. That trope gets old too. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
It's balance.
There is a balance. Let's move on to this. These emails here that I got from listeners. Filmsack@gmail.com is where these two emails came from. You can also leave us text at 801-471-0462. Smoking Aces is on Max, says Bernie Walter. Just got there. What are you waiting for? Good. Love the shows, Bernie.
Smoking Aces. I'd watch that again.
I would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's get it on there. I can't remember who's in it. Why?
Is that the one with Piven?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Piven. Yeah. You know what? This was one of the first Tarantino likes I'd ever seen.
Right. Guy Ritchie likes.
Yeah. When everybody was trying to make one of these, and it's got good people in this. Let's see.
No, it's Common. Got Ryan Reynolds, Jeremy Piven. It's got all the Ray Liotta.
I love Common. Common's awesome. Ray Liotta. Yeah, we should. Is the one where they beat up the hooker? Or no, they have the hooker and she dies on the.
I think that's what sets up everything, right? Is the.
Right. Piven kills her by accident or something.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they all freak out.
Right.
Ooh, is Bean Fork in this? Hold on.
Yes. Bean Fork's in it.
Oh, shit. All right. I'm in. Let's do Smoking Aces.
We haven't sacked Smoking Aces.
No, we have not.
I've seen it on my own.
Yeah, definitely have not, but I am in.
I'm trying to figure out how I would search it if Scott spelled something weird or like what's the
aces would probably be your safest bet, right?
I'm very careful about that. I try not to F that up, and if I do, I go back and fix it. So should you, if you don't see it, we didn't do it.
I'm just, we haven't sacked Smoking Aces.
No, okay, right. I think you might have recommended it a while, like years ago, Scott, or months ago on TMS.
But, I like it. I think it's. Yeah. It's dark.
It's been years though. 2008.
Really, it's really dark and very. But the Guy Ritchie Tarantino quality of it is, I think it's what made it not a hit. Is people were like, "What? This just looks like a ripoff." But if you saw it, it kind of stuck with you. Yeah. I remember hating Piven in it. Just hating him in it.
Yeah, which was good.
That is good. I liked it.
You want some Piven hate?
Piven hate. Yeah. All right. Mm. Enough of that. Let's move on now to this one, this email. Hi, Sackers, says Paul in Michigan.
Oh.
Paul from Michigan here, he says.
Hi, Paul.
Just a fun fact from the argument of the yellow sun canceling out Green Lantern's powers.
Oh, boy.
While our sun is a yellow dwarf, it gives
I hear him pushing up his glasses. Okay. Yeah,
a little bit. You can hear a little squeak noise. Says, while our sun is a yellow dwarf, it gives off white light, so he would be fine. Superman is screwed, though. Cheers, Paul. Yeah, that's true. I looked it up to confirm it because I wasn't actually sure, but we have a yellow dwarf sun. That's what it's classified as, but it gives off the light it gives off is white light. Superman's the one that claims the yellow sun gives him
power. That's what Nuclear Man tries to do, right? They that's what they do in that one with the Nuclear Man. The
fourth one, yeah.
They like keeping him, they keep him from the sun and everything.
You mean so the shittiest one. Film ever conceived or made? Is that the one you mean? That movie's so bad, you guys.
Did we say that in the green? I've heard y'all say it a couple of times, and I'm like, I don't remember us saying anything directly about the yellow sun and it having an effect on
shouldn't the yellow of our sun be a problem?
Oh, okay. All right,
I guess it's because it doesn't put off yellow light.
Right.
But also, does it put off a little yellow light? Because otherwise, why do we call it?
But it puts out all colors of light, so we're safe.
Yeah, we're all right.
We're safe.
It puts off just enough yellow, but there's so much green in it. That's fine. All right, that's it for emails. Keep them coming, filmsack@gmail.com. I would like to thank some brand new patrons that joined us this week. A whole bunch of them. Ooh. Very happy to have them here. David Knighton, hugs.
Oh, hugs. Give me this.
Aww. Yep. Jeff May, MG, Kevin Ingerson, Joshua Schneider, Colin Nelson, Robert Monty, and Brandon Eschwick. They have all joined us over at patreon.com/filmsack. And
we
boy,
love
what a,
all of you.
What a great time to do it, because these host specials we've been putting up, super awesome stuff. I just did one about what I think the core of all good filmmaking is, and I'm not going to give it away. I want you to listen to it and see what you think.
Interesting. All right.
So it's up there now for the month of July.
I just want to say I'm really proud of you. I feel like you put forth an essay.
Thanks, Dad.
Almost like it felt like an essay.
Right.
You know, and I know you didn't sit and write 2,000 words. So
no, I just spoke.
It was really cool. I'm very impressed.
I'm glad to hear that. I hope people enjoy it. It may not even be a good theory, but it's a theory I've had for a long time about why all good movies share this one aspect, with maybe some possible exceptions. But anyway,
and of course, anybody who's modern and up to date on films is going to immediately jump to the Fast and the Furious movies with your.
Oh yeah, that was impossible. I'm shocked I didn't actually bring that up because that one it wears it on its sleeve. But anyway, check it out if you're a patron, and if you haven't heard that one already, it's up on the feed. That feed includes all the episodes we do here, plus these host specials every month, plus pre-show content for our movie episodes. And when you hear those, you think, man, this is a lot of really great extra content. Well, that's how you get it. Sign up at patreon.com/filmsack today and enjoy that, okay? Get in there. I sent out a Spider-Man print for this month's art as well, so that's
That's cool.
Yeah, my own rendition of Spider-Man. I got in a kind of a Spider-Verse mood, so I made kind of a yellow suited Spider-Man thing.
Oh, interesting. Kind of like the Daredevil yellow suit. A little bit.
That's what inspired it, funny enough. Yeah. I'll copy it and you guys can check it out. But anyway, go do it today. That's patreon.com/filmsack. Next week, we'll do another thing. It's all a little mixed up right now, so I don't know what order you're going to be hearing shit in, because we got people out of town, and we're recording content for all the weekends, but it's just a lot of different comings and goings with the summer and the family reunions and all that. So tune in next week.
And pneumonia.
Yeah.
Just a pneumonia.
Whatever. Throw a wrench into the works. Yeah.
Dude, freaking summer pneumonia. That's the other thing I was thinking about. It sucks to get pneumonia. It sucks to have it at all anytime, but in the middle of the summer?
Yeah.
That sucks.
In the middle of summer.
So, Comic-Con people, don't come to Comic-Con unless you're...
Oh, gosh. Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, be careful out there.
Get a bunch of vaccines before you go there.
That's right, you weirdos. All right, that's it. Filmsack.com is our website. You can go there anytime and find links to everything we ever do. All right? All the stuff we talk about, like quicksack.li, it's linked right there. All that stuff, okay? So, filmsack.com is the place to go for all of it. And that is going to do it for us. For me... For Brian, and for Randy.
Oh, crap.
I'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
She's trying to steal the cross.
She's got the cross.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.